This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
The following episode of TOFOP is rated MA for mature audiences. It may contain sexual references, time travel references, allegations of bin misconduct, and mild coarse language. TOFOP advises that this episode is not suitable for anyone under the age of 15 or anyone who thinks a comedy conversation between two old mates sounds like a terrible idea for a show. Minors must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. This is John Deek speaking.
Friend, relax. This is TOFOP. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson, and let's start where we need to start. Podcast Mike and what he's wearing. Our regular series, what is Podcast Mike wearing? Now, I need to point out for the record, Podcast Mike did say to me when I went on the call earlier, we were discussing a little philosophy business before you joined us, Charlie, and Podcast Mike said, I apologize. I've just been for a run. Because Podcast Mike is wearing a singlet. I think this is the first time that Podcast Mike has rocked a singlet on a recording of TOFOP. And
didn't even know he had shoulders.
This is the new Melbourne. This gives me hope for the world opening up post-COVID. You know, everybody's looking for their signs of, you know, that dove that shows you that there is land nearby. For me, that beautiful white biblical dove is Podcast Mike's shoulders. The fact that I have seen his shoulders tonight makes me think that this whole country is going to be fucking open by Christmas. He is the groundhog that has summoned that COVID is over in Australia. We did not have to have six more weeks of lockdown.
The skin of his shoulders is as white as a dove's. It definitely signals the end of COVID. I think that's what I'd like to believe as well, Will. One word comes to mind when I look at Podcast Mike, and that's sexy. It's a sexy new look. Sexy new times for Melbourne and sexy new look for Podcast Mike.
It's summer bod. What we're seeing right now is Podcast Mike's summer look. We're getting to see some of the summer collection, you know, and it's out and about and it's proud. And I like it. It's a change of seasons. In this year that where time has felt meaningless, I feel like we've had a beacon of the changing of seasons.
Are you getting shredded for summer days? Podcast Mike, is that what's going on? Has Daniel Andrews done such a great job that summer day, they're having like all the dance festivals are back at once. You're getting summer days, you're getting I don't even know that. That's summer days, the only one I know. Summer days, Stereosonic, they're all happening at once.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Because you know Dan Andrews, his speeches about, you know, getting on the beers have been remixed into dance tunes at festivals around the country. And this clip went around of everybody in Perth at like a rave hugging each other and just going off to Daniel Andrews' press conference. So what if Daniel Andrews realized that this has been like the thing that's been quite positive for his reputation during this time? Maybe he decides, it's not enough to be Premier of Victoria anymore. I'm going to take this opportunity to run to be Prime Minister of Australia. But the thing that is going to get these other states on board with Dan Andrews is I'm cutting through in the dance community. I'm getting young people back to the Labor Party through fucking raves, because that's the best time for political messaging, if you think about it.
Yes.
Like, if you fill me full of ecstasy and get me like in a sweaty tent with half naked people, I'm going to buy relentless pop propaganda. I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever. I'm just fucking digging this. Kraftwerk could have been doing lyrics from Mein Kampf and I would have been just been like, this is a fucking good gig. I fucking love you, man.
So he just rebranded himself. He's no longer Chairman Dan. He's Fat Boy Dan.
Fat Boy Dan. And he actually starts, he wears his North Face. He's already got like a dance music look. So he gets his North Face jacket and he starts like Disco Dan. He just starts going to raves. Fat Boy Dan, like he does a collab with Jacinda Ardern because she was a DJ and they just
get... she's perfect. She's the vocalist. She can sing over the top of his beats.
Oh, right. Yeah. So I think they both scratch, but she does the vocals. That's like the new
She does
angle.
Vocals as well.
So they just bring out like a set of decks and it's Jacinda Ardern on one side, Chemical Brothers style, and like Fat Boy Dan on the other side. And she's just got a microphone and she does some vocals.
Yeah, I'm all down with that. Down with that. Now, Will, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but looking at me on Skype, it's happened again. It's bloody happened again. Months after I told the story of going to the barber and getting a haircut I didn't want, it happened again. Clearly, I am the common denominator in this scenario. I don't know what
I'm... glad you did not need me to point that out, because I felt like it was going to be bullying and victim blaming, but clearly
no.
You are the
problem. I had a real, like, I had a real moment of reflection where it was like, it's fucking happened again.
Yeah. And it's a terrifying reflection.
What is going on? Like, and okay, so this last time I think we discussed that it was just a misunderstanding. Clearly, the discussion around me raising the hairline above my ear confused her, and she just went, no, too short on the side. So for those who've come in late, all I want to do is grow my hair out. All I'm trying to do is grow my hair out so I can look like the dad from the OC. I just want that long, sweeping kind of Gia hair, the hair that G is rocking from our other podcast. But I just can't seem to communicate that to a barber. So I went in today. It's taken two and a half months, almost 3 months. I've grown it out. I go to the barber, and these were my exact...
Okay, firstly... No, okay, I've got some questions. I'll set the scene a little bit first. Okay, so I know that you're in a place you don't normally live, right?
Yep.
So how did you choose the barber is my first question. Did you just randomly walk into any old barber, or did you get some sort of recommendation?
It's a barber shop that I'd been to before where I remembered getting a good haircut. And so okay. I went to the website, couldn't quite remember who the barber was, but this guy seemed to be the same guy. I wasn't sure. But I was just taking a punt, and he was available because a lot of places around here are booked out for everything, cafes, barbers. So you just take what you can get. So I was chancing my hand a little bit, but all I wanted was a haircut. And so I went in. The guy seemed cool, had cool hair. He actually had the haircut I wanted. So I sort of...
So what you needed to ask him was, hey, mate, who cuts your hair? Because he's not cutting his own hair. If he had the haircut you wanted, you've got to find the source. You've got to go back and find out who cut his hair. That's who you actually want on your hair.
His question to me was, what are we doing today? And I said, I'm growing my hair out. I just want to trim. This is a short haircut that's grown out. It's a bit all over the place. I just want to trim the sides. No clippers on the side. Just scissors on the side. Trim it down. Keep it pretty much long on top and just neaten up the back. They were my instructions. Okay. Is there anything about that to you that's confusing?
No. So far, I think you've laid out a pretty good game plan. I have a clear understanding of what you're trying to achieve. I might still have to give you some updates along the way, but in a general sense, I've given you a roadmap for what we should be doing.
Right. And so just to press the point about the sides, because it really comes down to the sides of my head. I don't want this close cropped, like the sides I have right now. It's too close. I pointed to his, which are quite long and swept back, and I said, like your hair. And he was like, yeah, man, cool, right? So as far as I can tell, message received.
You should go to Gary, because Gary cuts my hair and he's awesome.
Now, the haircut begins, and it's a bit different to the last one, because the last girl who cut it,
okay,
I could tell straight away, like she cut so deep straight away that I knew I was in trouble. But this guy was a little more finessey. So it was kind of a little harder to tell. Like he did start, he just used the scissors and he was clipping around, but it was just harder. The way he was moving, it was harder to tell how much hair he was taking. But it all seemed to be going okay, right? Now this was what happens next. And I'm not sure if this is in his defense or what. But so he gets sort of halfway through doing one side and my phone rings and it's Gemma. And she's a bit frantic because I've just left her at a cafe. And she's gone to pay for lunch, but she can't find her purse. And so she thinks she may have left it somewhere in one of the previous stores we'd been to prior to getting to this cafe. So I say to the guy, hey, man, can we just pause? I've just got to go meet my wife, pay for her lunch, you know, just make sure she's cool. Yeah, no worries. So I go running out of this barbershop with like half a haircut, which for where I am is probably not that unusual, but it was like a full 80s mullet. So I had my long hair down the back, shaved on one side. Jogging down the street to meet Jim at the cafe, sort that out, pay that bill, you know, talk to Jim about where she's going next. She goes on her way to go locate the pair. So I go back. It takes about 5 minutes. By the time I get back, another dude has sat in my chair and I walk in. The barber's like, mate, sorry, this won't take long. He's just getting a beard trim. It'll be 2 minutes. We'll be back with you. So I sit down, wait for this other guy to get finished, jump back in the chair. So then when he starts again, then I start to get worried because I'm like, oh shit, it's actually, I hadn't really taken notice, but it's actually quite short on that side. But I can't stop him now because he has to even up that side. So I'm like, okay, all right. The sides are too short. It's not what I wanted, but at least the length on top. You know, that's what I'll keep that. I'll hang my hat on having the long hair on top. You know, the rest will grow back. It'll be fine. So he then gets to the top of my head. And he's like, are you okay with the sides? And I lie and I say, yep, great, awesome. And he's gone, okay, so just a little bit off the...
See, but this is you faking your orgasm. If you fake your orgasm, then the person thinks, oh, this thing gets this person off, and therefore they readjust their expectations. You've faked your orgasm. You've gone, you're meant to say at that stage, the sides are a little tighter than I'd like, but, you know, let's keep the length on the top to balance it out. You're meant to reiterate. Because here's what I'm going to say.
What's the point in reiterating? About he can't do anything about it. It's not like I'm coming back to him.
No, he can do something about it. He can adjust the rest of the haircut accordingly.
Slice into my flesh so the hair looks longer.
Well, I mean, they can do some hairdresser tricks, but here's what I'm thinking now is that I reckon hairdressers must have, it might be actually inbuilt into the way that they do their job, and maybe some hairdressers can hit us up and let us know. But it would actually be a bad thing to remember something from earlier and think it was about the person you were cutting their hair off. So I think they're a bit like goldfish. So the minute that you've walked away,
right,
like his brain has been etch-a-sketched of what your expectations are, and you need to reiterate them, because you can't be cutting someone's hair at 1 o'clock and giving them what the guy at 10 o'clock told you they wanted with their hair. You've got to be able to shake it out, start again. Yep. And in between, you've had Beard Boy coming in for his late blade shave, and that's been like a hairdresser buffer.
Yeah.
And this dude's just kind of forgotten what you're trying to achieve.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because the whole time I was in the chair, like part one and part two, he was getting hammered. Like, he was the only guy in the shop because of COVID, you know, they're not opening the store to walk-ins. But every couple of minutes, someone was walking, hey, can I get a shave? Hey, can I get a haircut? And he was like, I mean... He was dismissing him in that kind of cool way that cool, like he's a punk, like he's covered in tats and had like piercings and stuff. He was dismissing him in a way where he was giving him shit, but he was so cool about giving him shit that they couldn't respond. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like some guy's like, hey, bro, can I get my hair cut? And he's like, yeah, sorry, man, I'm getting slammed. I'm booked all day, Thursday at the earliest. And the guy's like, oh, I just need it, you know, I just need that, just a little trim done. And the guy's like, yeah, true. Can't help you, bro. Can't help you. I said no. On you, but like was doing it in a way that was so kind of cool that I was like, oh, man, I can't even be honest enough to tell this barber he's fucked my haircut up. And he's dismissing dudes left, right and center.
That's why this guy has got the haircut you want.
Yes.
Because look at the way that he lives his life.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a man who knows how to set boundaries, make it clear, still be cool about it. And this is what you're not mastering there.
Yeah,
is
right.
That they want to help you get the haircut that you want. You need to come in a little bit stronger with saying, hey, here is what I want. This is what I want to look like. This is what I want to achieve today, and let them then try to achieve it.
Kind of like sex. I mean, that analogy is right. Like you're sort of saying, look, I need to get the orgasm, but there's a funny way for me to get there. So if you're cool with it, let me walk you through it. You know, we'll keep the romance. We'll make it fun for everyone, but can I just walk you through exactly what I want? Rather than me just faking it.
And then they're happier as well, right?
Yeah.
Because that person wants to please you.
I got the feeling this dude was a kind of cool cat, kind of tat-covered piercing. He was a straight-edge dude. He made that clear to me from the very start. I don't know why. He assumed that I was some kind of junkie or something
Mate, I'm not saying you want your hair cut by this dude. I'm saying you need to be this dude.
Yeah, right.
Like, if you were this dude, you wouldn't have him cutting your hair. You would have gone to the guy who cuts his hair. This is literally, he's living his life a different way to you're living your life. It's not that he was the wrong hairdresser for you, but he was the right personality for you. You've got to take that into the salon.
Well, I think, to get back to what I was saying before, the fact that he was getting all these dudes coming up and like, oh, this guy is cutting, like a basic haircut takes like, what, 20 minutes the most? So he's probably getting through 3 guys an hour over an 8 or 9 hour day. So he's cutting a lot of hair. Mm. I reckon he's acting like he's hearing what I'm saying, but he's an autopilot. He's like the Terminator. He's sizing up my head and he's going, this is the haircut that I'll give this guy. Even though I've said I want it longer and stuff, he's like, no, box head here is getting short on the sides and a bit long on the top. Because when it get to the top bit, which this is the bit I'm trying to save, I've lost the sides, I've given up on those, but I'm like, I still have the long hair on top. He does that thing where he says, I'm going to take off this much. And he shows me, right? And it's literally like, half a centimeter, like a tiny amount. He shows me. He's like, that's what I'm taking off. I'm like, yeah, cool. He starts cutting. More than a centimeter comes off. Like, he actually, look how short my hair is on top now. Like, that wasn't what he showed me. It was like false advertising.
Well, here's the thing. Is every one of these situations, they seem to be diving in the deep end. Because here's the thing about hair. It's very hard to stick it back on, but it's not that hard to cut it shorter. Like, I think you've got to be, again, I have a simpler haircut maybe than you, right?
Oh, no, I don't but think I you do. In, I think yours is more complicated than mine. I wanted a trim.
But
that's
it's
all
not.
I wanted, a trim.
This is like, okay, I'm going to run you through
okay.
how I would handle this situation, right?
All right.
So I get my hair cut every couple of weeks while I do grooming, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll tell you how it goes down. The first, like,
first week, I throw my I coffee like, in the assistant's face.
I have a proper haircut. I go in and I say, this is what I would like. I would like my fade started at about a half.
I don't even know what a fade
then, like,
is.
Fade it up.
What's a fade?
But that just means, well, your fade's basically, you know how my hair is like short around like the bottom.
Okay, right.
And then it gets progressively like longer
okay.
as it goes up.
I
it
understand.
Fades up into your hair,
I get it.
Right? That's
Makes
your
sense.
Fade. So at the moment I have like a two level fade. I have like a short one half sort of thing, and then like it gets a bit thicker, and then like I have longer hair on the top. Really, it's just three stages, Charlie, and it's an evolution
yep.
ever upwards. And so basically all I say to them is I just want my fade started at a half so you can't see my birthmark at the back of my head, and then fade it up, and then like just do the dead ends on the top and thin out the top.
So,
right?
So sorry, just slow down, stop. You're using a bunch of terminology I don't even, like I've never even heard this. This is clearly the issue. Fades, dead ends. I don't even know what any of this means. Like, obviously, I'm going in like some rube and say, duh, like, I want a haircut. And they're just going, this fucking idiot, I'll get him out in 5 minutes. This will be the easiest money I'll ever make.
This guy's like 41 years old and he does not know any hairdressing terms. He's not picked up one simple term like fade. Like, I tried to give him some gel. He started throwing his own poo at me. I don't know what happened. And then every second week, I just do my fade. So literally, like once a month.
You create the shape and then you maintain the shape.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, see, I think
the
problem.
Because the sides, which is my issue, like, but I like my sides to be short, right? I've got the opposite issue to you. Like, I might like mine is, because the minute the sides of my head grow out, I just have this weird round head. It changes the complete, like, I could go for a jog like every fucking day. I couldn't with my hips, but like in this hypothetical scenario, like I could go on a diet plan for 3 months and not lose as much weight as I lose by just getting my fade done every 2 weeks.
Well, I have the same issue with the sides of my head. Like, I call them my koala ears because for some reason the hair on the side of my head grows faster than everywhere else. So I get very wedge head very quickly. So I was I wanted to just get that swept back look, that kind of Gia, long hair, swept back kind of movie, old style right. movie star look. But I can't seem to communicate it. I was saying to Jim, like, maybe it's because I'm going to like barbershops. Like, maybe these guys,
yeah.
Maybe I need to go to a hairdresser or a stylist or something like that. Maybe I need to spend a bit more money.
So exactly. If that's what you want, you can't be going into, like, I can go to a barber because I have a barbershop haircut. But you want like a distinguished gentleman's haircut.
Yeah.
And I don't think the distinguished gentlemen are going to like these barbers that you're going to. You need to like, yeah, maybe you need a hairdresser.
But the guy like had he had good hair. I mean, do you think he's not going to a barber? Like, no, he's not knocking off work and getting one of the other barbers to cut his hair?
Yeah, but well, I don't know. You ask him. There's one person who can clear this up. You storm back in there. And you say, he goes, good to meet you for the first time. You're like, it's not. It's the third fucking time. He's like, I'm a goldfish. I don't remember anything. Anyway, he says, you say to him, who cut your hair? Find that out. Investigate that. Does he go to a barber or does he go to it? Like, does he have a hairdresser?
All stuck all around the barbershop, all those cool vintage like 1950s rockabilly right. hairstyles.
Well, too much. It's too much.
What do you mean?
Well, that's like somebody who's wearing a Ramones t-shirt that they bought at Jeans West. Like, you're trying too hard. It's like the vintage car shop that has pictures of vintage cars everywhere. You don't want to go to that one. You want to go to some like, you know, mechanic who just specializes in working on vintage cars.
Three haircuts ago, so I've had the two barbers, they've been the last ones, but prior to that, Gemma said, oh, come to my salon. The lady there is amazing. She'll cut your hair. And she even fucked it up. Like, I'm the problem. I don't know. Maybe I need to, like, learn the terms. Maybe I need to just, like, go out for a coffee with a hairdresser or a makeup artist or something and just say, look, I want to get this haircut. I want to look like the dad from the OC. How do I get that haircut? Can you tell me, like, give me the three things I need to say when I go in there? Like, give me fade and bloody split ends or whatever you were saying, dead ends. Tell me what I need to say to them to get this haircut.
But Charlie, you have friends who are hairdressers. You have worked in professional, like, situations, acting, where you've worked with hairdressers and stylists and people who specialize in this area. I imagine that, like, by the end of this podcast, you could come up with 10 names of people you could ask for advice in this. All you need to do is go onto the internet, find a picture of the dad from the OC and send it to those 10 names and just say, who can make me look like this? You don't even have to put anything else in the email. Just like in the title of the email, who can make me look like this? And then cut and paste the dad from the OC. I bet you will have a better result.
I remember, like, one of our friends in particular, I remember years ago talking to him about wanting to grow my hair out and grow it quite long and asking him, I said, but there's that in-between period between a long haircut and a short haircut where it just looks shit. And I was like, is there a way that you can cut it or something so it just sort of lessens the impact of that intermediary period? And he's like, no, you've just got to commit to the long hair and you've got to put up with 6 months of shit looking hair.
And you've committed to just the awkward look in between. That's your look at the moment. No, because you're trying for that other look, you keep getting stuck at the starter level.
My look is just, it's just boring. Like, and I can see it in, like, Gemma's eyes and hear it in her voice, like how disappointed she is when I come back from the barber, because it's fine. Like, I look like a cop. That's what I look like. I look like a total G-man cop. I don't look cool. I look like a dork and I'm really annoyed.
I mean, it's, I understand. Here's what I will say.
Do you want to see it? Look, here we go. I'm taking my headphones off so I can do it properly. All right. Look, this is it. See, that's the side. That's the side. I'll turn around and show you the back.
I mean, here's what I will say about it.
Well, hang on, wait.
It's technically. Oh,
wait. Sorry, my headphones just turned themselves off, so you can go again.
Here's what I will say about it.
What?
It's technically a haircut. If you were putting out a book for aliens of what a haircut is, they would have a picture of that haircut because it feels like they just cut every hair on your head. Like, as in just, they were like, a haircut is making sure that every hair just gets cut. And so it's just, it is.
There's no style to it.
Archetypal, plain.
Yes.
Like, standard issue. Yep. If they were making robot people and they were just like, we've got to give them vaguely human looking hair, but we're not going to spend the entire budget on realistic looking hair. That's your hair.
If you were designing any pictograph that was to instruct people on how to perform any task.
Totally.
And one of your pictographs, you needed to distinguish that it was a man and has this haircut. That's what I look like. When you're in an aeroplane and they're going through the safety, that's this haircut. It's just nothing. Haircut.
That's the problem. You've looked around his entire salon where there was all these cool rockabilly haircuts and you've pointed to the demonstration of the emergency exit and he's gone, that guy. The pictograph. It's very popular, actually.
I mean, this is the kind of haircut, like, Jem describes me when she first met me, because Jem was very much like an ex-goth rock and roll chick. And then she remembers meeting me at some party for the first time and what was I wearing? She said I was wearing like beige slacks and like a chambray shirt or some, just like the most private school dickish kind of outfit, and her being like, I will never be attracted to that man. There is nothing in my fiber, my being, will ever be attracted to that man. And so it must be so crushing to her after 17 years to see me come back from the barber and I have not evolved at all. She thought she maybe got me looking a bit cooler, and I want to be cool, Will. That's the sad part, is I want to evolve. I want my look to be cool, but it just won't happen.
I think you're right, because of course, I was saying this, I was getting measured for a suit the other day for work, and there's other people who have to, like, they have to make sure that the suit works on camera, and they're trying to, you know, choose the color and the design and all these sort of things. And I have, like, if it's some version of black or blue, I'll probably wear it, right? Like, you know, it's other people's job to know what it is that I'm meant to wear on television. And they were saying to me, they were like, oh, which color do you prefer? And I said, I actually don't mind, because I really don't look at me. Like, you know, I put on the suit, but like the rest of the time I'm looking at everybody else on the show. I've got the auto cue. Like, I'm never actually looking at myself. It's only other people who have to look at me. And that's what it's like for Gemma. Like, in a way, you're not the real victim of this. She is the real victim of this, because she has to look at you all the time. Imagine how demonstrably better. That's what you've got to do. You've got to take her back in tomorrow. And you've got to say to him, look at her face. Look at this beautiful, stylish woman, the mother of my child. Bring in Iona as well.
Iona.
Just to sell this entire thing. Look at her face. Look at the disappointment in her eyes. She was cool, and I've dragged her into the middle.
So much so. She's so mediocre now because of me. I mean, imagine if any of her goth friends back in Edinburgh saw the dork that she was married to. Like, she would never live it down.
It's, well, you know what it'd be like? It'd be like that episode of, so I ended up watching the second season of the Boys. And I did enjoy it much more by the end of it. But there's that moment where Starlight and old mate, what's his name?
Jack Quaid, the Dennis Quaid's son.
Is that who that is?
What's his name? What's his fucking name? The character? Huey.
Huey and Starlight. And
yeah, so like, he's Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid's son.
I did not know that. He's great. I think he's really good in that show. And the romance between him and Starlight is actually quite believable.
They're really good together. Yeah.
Yeah. And but there's that moment, like, when her mum is just so fucking disappointed that that's the guy that she's chosen. I can imagine that's what Gemma's friends would be like. They'd be like, this guy? I mean, I guess if he makes you happy, but this guy?
Well, we did actually have a version of that happen when we went back to Scotland a few years ago when I was doing Home and Away. And we went back to the bar she used to work at in Edinburgh. And, I mean, bizarrely, like, a lot of those, her friends were still there. Like, they were, you know, almost 20 years later, they're still, like, regulars at this pub. Right. And so it was like we had a great catch-up and stuff, but you could sort of see, well, first of all, that her accent was throwing them because she had this, as far as they were concerned, she sounded like completely Australian, even though I still think she sounds kind of Scottish. To them, she sounded completely Australian. But to see her with me, you could, because it was an old rock and roll dive bar we were at, and we're drinking like 50 shilling beer or whatever it's called, that shitty Scottish beer, and listening to rock and roll and smoking cigarettes and stuff. And they're looking at, and Jem looks relatively the same as when she did. She's maybe a bit more boho. She's not so rock and roll and gothy anymore. She's a bit more boho chic, but she looks cool. But I don't. like in that bar, she could get away with being in that bar even though she was no longer rock and roll, but I couldn't. Because I was on Home and Away. I looked like the Home and Away dork. And you could just sort of see that they were looking at her and looking at me and just and trying to work out how did this happen, especially knowing what she would have been like back then, you know what I mean, when she was much more rock and roll and much more goth. Like, what happened to you when you get to Australia? Do they brainwash you or something? Like, do they just take you cool at the airport?
You married a cop. You went to Australia and married a fucking cop. Who's the narc? That's what they said to you. Who's this narc?
When you're talking before about not having an opinion on stuff you wear, I'm pretty much the same. Although I do remember the one time I put my foot down, again, it was on Home and Away, is when I just started on the show. And because of the way that show moves, it's so quick from the moment they cast you and stuff. A lot of the development of your character sort of happens after the fact. It's not like they present you with this fully formed character and all this kind of stuff. Like, you sort of find the character as you get into it. So, you know, the sense of humor and the look and all this kind of stuff happens as you're sort of doing it. So those early episodes are always hilarious when you watch, because someone comes in fairly kind of generic and then you'll see them evolve over like 6 months to find the character. And when I started, I kind of went in with like a thicker beard, like a much more kind of like, you know, I ended up having sort of like stubble, like 3 day growth, but it was like a proper beard and my hair was very long. And so swept back, it had kind of like a vintage Darren Hinch kind of look, like that long bouffant swept back hair and a big beard. But I remember getting to the change rooms and seeing my wardrobe, and it was like these khaki pants and this baggy terracotta long sleeve, like corduroy shirt, like, but really 80s baggy, just like not form fitting. That's it. When the clothes that look best on me and stuff, that's just a bit more tailored, a bit more defined. If it's really baggy, I just look, everything about me is kind of square. So if you give me a big baggy shirt, I just look like a giant oblong. And so I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And I put it on, and when I put it on, it looked even worse than I could possibly imagined. And the best way I can describe it to you is when I put it on, so you can imagine these like khaki slacks, which were quite sort of fitted, and then this baggy terracotta colored corduroy shirt that was really boxy. I looked like Don Burke with my beard and my hair, this terracotta. The color scheme just reeked of Don Burke. And I remember being like, oh no. And I didn't want to be that guy, but I sort of went to wardrobe and sort of said, hey, look, you know, I see what you've laid out for me. I'm just wondering, could we just swap
could I look less like a sex offender?
Yeah.
I'm just feeling like at the moment my look is very sex offender.
I'm not even implying that. It's just the look. It's just that late 80s, early 90s, shirt tucked into your jeans, dad look. But with the beard and the hair, it was very Don Burke.
By the timing of when you were at Home and Away, it was already like, uncool to look like Don Burke.
Yeah,
like,
it was never cool to look like Don Burke.
In the same way as they just like, hey, hang on, this movie producer I'm playing looks exactly like Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, it's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
So I went to the wardrobe and just said like, hey, could I just swap out the shirt or swap the pants or just, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we don't have any spares. Like, this is the outfit. We only have doubles of this. And so then I went to the director and I was like, oh, look, I hate doing this. But I said, I feel really uncomfortable in this. I just think I look like Don Burke. And, you know, I'm wondering, can we just find a singlet or a reason for me being a T-shirt or just something that's just not so Don Burke-ish? And he just deferred, no, look, that's not my decision. That's the wardrobe. And I was so grumpy, like on set. I remember I got to set and was just waiting for someone to comment on my my Don Burkiness. No one did. So I decided to bring it up myself. Like, I decided to very loudly make jokes about how I looked like Don Burke. And to the point where, like, the crew finally caught on to it and like, oh, yeah, you do look like Don Burke. Like, it has a very, the terracotta and the khaki pants. It's got kind of very earthy gardener kind of quality.
You gaslit them.
Yeah,
I essentially went out there and gaslit the entire fucking crew because you were a prima donna on fucking Home and Away and weren't happy with your costume.
Look, it's the only time I've ever been a prima donna, but it's one of those things like, and this is going to sound so wanky actory, but if you're feeling self-conscious about how you look, it makes it really hard for you to just be yourself on camera because the whole time you're thinking, is the crew laughing at me? Like, are people on TV going to be laughing at
me? Well, they are now that you've pointed it out.
Well, if anyone can find, it was one of the very early episodes. If you can find a still frame from it, take a grab of it, send it in to us, and we can decide next week if I actually, in fact, look like Don Burke.
Well, speaking of costumes on Home and Away, we have mentioned my 3-episode arc of Home and Away previously. 3 episodes.
3-episode arc? I thought it was a cameo.
Yeah, 3 episodes, mate. It was a fucking arc. It was a cameo arc. That's what it was.
Did you have lines?
No. What I'm saying is it a cameo arc. It was all filmed in one go because, you know, they film often, like, you know, scenes in the same set, like, you know, for a few different episodes. So basically I was in the background in the diner on 3 separate days, which meant, of course, I had to have 3 separate outfits. And because I was just going to be like in the background of these things, the wardrobe department had a very good time. There is a kind of red and yellow is my memory, kind of, you know, McDonald's logos style, like board short, long t-shirt operation I'm rocking in one of the scenes where, like, I'm like a British tourist who's seen a beach for the very first time and gone to the local surf shop and just bought, like, it was funny.
Chris Hemsworth. I wasn't there the day he came to visit, but he swung by just to catch up with some old friends, like crew and stuff that he was still mates with. And they chucked him in the background of one of the diner scenes, which I thought was really cool. So I can't remember what episode it was, but if you were an eagle-eyed viewer, you would just see this enormous dude in a singlet and like a Quicksilver baseball cap in the back of the cafe, just like reading the paper. It's like, what a cool dude. Comes back, doesn't forget his roots.
Do you think that Chris Hemsworth strikes me as one of those guys who quite likes, you know, that idea of like, you know, just, you see him interrupt interviews, like, you know, they're like doing some like live cross on the weather from down at the beach and he comes in the background and like takes
really?
It over. Yeah, he did that recently. And
all right,
everybody loves it, right? Because he's now at the level of superstardom that he knows that him just intruding on any situation will make that situation better. Like, for a whole bunch of other people, if you like, if you were like, hey, there's somebody doing their job doing the weather, and you were like, I'm going to... Yeah. Like, if I tried to do that, it's me.
Yeah. Hashtag Tofop. Speaking of which, we spoke last week about celebrity and misuse of celebrity and the misguided attempts to kind of make people feel better by, you know, recording a video in your palatial mansion to say, hey, we're all in this pandemic together. Turns out you and I were very nearly approached about being in one such video. Did you see Bernard Curry's Here Comes the Sun video that he did for Melbourne reopening?
So I'm not across this as much as I would like to be because we had a full-on week. There was a massive storm, as you know, up where we live, and it actually did a huge amount of damage, like, to a house and stuff. So we've been in, like, I haven't been watching much news, but I shared it on my Facebook page. So I had a little look at about maybe the first, like, 30 seconds to make sure that Bernie hadn't sent me something that was like, yeah, he's been reading a lot of QAnon theories while he's been in lockdown and he's written a song about it. But, like, I saw Sam Neill was like the first person I saw, and I was just like, ah, if Sam Neill thinks it's okay, then I think it's okay. That was that's what the level Sam Neill's at now, where I'm like, if Sam Neill would have done the research. And so I shared it, and I've seen that it's been going absolutely
really crazy.
And it seems to be really well received. So
it's great.
But I don't know what it is. So tell me.
So Bernie and Steve and Andrew Curry, the Curry brothers, pulled in a couple of mates, Knackers, who has helped us out on this podcast before, and Brett Tucker, a mate of ours, who's in LA. So they all collaborated, and they basically did a re-recording of Here Comes the Sun, but changed the lyrics so it's all about Melbourne reopening, and it's dotted with all these celebrity messages saying, good on you, Melbourne, you know, well done. And some are singing, some are, you know, just giving the messages. So it's great. And it's done really well. It's gone all around. So I was sending some messages to the guys because they're friends of ours saying, hey, well done, really great video. And I was like, you know, surprised you didn't reach out. And Bernie was like, what are you talking about? I did reach out. I reached out to you and I reached out to Will and I reached out to Cam and a bunch of other kind of like performers who are friends of ours, but you didn't get back. So I just assumed you thought it was daggy and embarrassing. It's like, well, that's funny that you should say that, because literally a week ago on the show, we were talking about, oh, why do celebrities do that? But it got me wondering, like, if we'd done that episode of the show and then that request had come in, what would my attitude have been? Now, having seen it as a finished product, I'm like, oh, it's great. Like, I know what this is. Yeah, I would have been happy to record a message or whatever they wanted me to do, to, you know, to help it, because I think it's a really sweet and nice little uplifting bit of video content. But if it had just been the request, hey, we're doing this video, can you record a little message? I wonder if I would have been like willing to do it, or would I be like, ah, I don't want to be that Gal Gadot of Australia.
So I have a convenient out on this, but I'll give you some background. So I actually got a message from Knackers, and I think Bernie must have messaged me on Facebook because I don't really check my Facebook much anymore. But I got a phone message from Knackers a couple of days ago, basically saying, hey, I've been working on this thing. could you? And I was in the middle of some other stuff. So I was just like, I'll get back to him in a couple of days. And then within that message coming through and the thing came out. So I was just like, oh, okay. And I just haven't bothered getting back yet just because I've been busy with other shit. So I am not allowed to do, I have a blanket policy of not doing anything. Like there was a thing, they're trying to destroy all this koala habitat in Australia at the moment. And it's fucking outrageous. And there's a petition to try to stop it. And I highly, you know, endorse it. But I was asked to do a video about it. And because of Gruen and because we talk about those sort of marketing and image, I just have found it easier over the years to have a blanket policy that I don't do anything. But I was thinking about the exact same thing you were thinking about, which was, these dudes are my mates. Would I have tried to, would I have just used that excuse? Because it's a legitimate excuse. I would have been able to just say I can't do it. Or would have that been me just hiding behind that excuse because I would have been worried that it was going to be daggy and we've been talking about how daggy it could be. Maybe I would. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I genuinely don't know what decision I would have made. I would like to think that I would be generous enough of spirit and heart and friendship to just say yes, but I'm not sure that I would have. I think that I probably would have tried to find an excuse and say no.
I can't find
And I feel bad to, and I feel really bad about that in retrospect because it's great. But
So you were contacted. Cam Knight was also contacted. He found his message in his junk mail, so he never got it either. But I can't find any evidence that I was ever asked to be involved. Like, I've looked through my junk mail, I've checked my messages, I've checked my Facebook messages, and I can't find any evidence, which makes me think maybe he was just trying to make me feel better. Maybe he didn't ask me to be in it.
No, okay. So
do you think it's a group message?
Okay, I'll edit this on the run if I need to edit this on the run. Mate, Knackers here. Hope you've been well and enjoying Byron. Sounds like the rest of the Sydney gang are following in your footsteps. You may have seen an email from Burns. No, I didn't. But about a video we're making. Would love a video message from you if you had the inclination. And then there's a link to the video, which I haven't had a look at, unfortunately. Now, so that's the message, you know, and that was sent on Monday. That was sent on Monday.
Yeah.
So I guess a week ago. So yeah, and it came out like, you know, mid last week or something. So it was pretty close to when it came out and I was just in Gruen land and didn't get back to him anyway. So this next bit is really funny and I think we probably, it's okay. But anyway, I won't give all the details. But basically he reveals that someone he works with had a bit of an obsession with me when they were a teenager and her mum found this shrine called Future Husband on her wall, and he sent me the photos of it that she's obviously given to him, and it is, yeah, it's like I don't have that many recollections of things that I've done that were on this wall. Like, this is it is a shrine.
So I just so I'm just checking my messages. So when I was texting with Knackers, I was like, so I did the whole thing about like, why didn't you ask me? And he's like, we tried, but you didn't get back. I said, really? I would have loved. I love that. So Naka said, Burns must have had your old email. We should have just picked up the phone. We sent a 1-minute version out on Sunday to a lot of people to get involved, but then made the wrong assumption that no response meant people thought it was too daggy, which I think that's because I never got anything.
Not like, completely incorrect, like assumption. Yeah. I think if I'm, again, I don't know. It's a hypothetical situation, clearly, and I'm glad that it's gone really well. And I'm glad that they were not cynical enough that they didn't do it. Like, they made something really fun and great because they decided, fuck it, maybe it is a bit daggy, but we're going to do it anyway. And I really admire that. And I wish that I could say that I would have immediately said yes, but I'm not sure that I would have.
So what? If they had given
plus,
you a choice,
plus literally, I moved out of Melbourne the day the fucking lockdown started and everybody's been locked down for 8 months while I've been living a relatively normal fucking life. Anyway, here's my cheery message, Melvin. I should have got out when I got out. Love ya. Yeah, probably would have been tone deaf.
Maybe podcast, mate, you can put a link to that video in the episode description. Hey, Will, let's get to some mail.
Okay. And if anyone out there would like to contact us, the best way to do that is to go to tofop.com. There's a little message window down the very bottom. You can message any of our podcasts there. There's a little drop-down window. You select the podcast you want to get in touch with and you send us a message. Heaps of great podcasts at tofop.com. There's Willosophy. That's Will's highbrow, celebrity-packed chat show. Who's on this week, Will?
Titus O'Reilly, who some people might know if
Titus.
You follow the AFL or sports. He's a sports satirist or comedian, or I don't know. We get to the bottom of what Titus is. What I love about him is he reminds me a little bit of this podcast in that he just created something that it's its own thing. It doesn't need to fit into, you know, the niche of it being one thing or another thing. He just created this world that there's a whole bunch of people who enjoy what he does. And he's written a new book called Cheat, about the history of cheating in sport. And we have a really fascinating conversation. I absolutely loved it. And of course, I still want to plug the Jimmy Barnes one from last week because people seem to be really digging that interview with Jimmy Barnes.
We also have a grand final. If you're an AFL fan, we have a grand final wrap-up show that we did with the guys from Junk Time AFL, Michael Chamberlain and Adam Rosenbachs.
I'd love to ask him, actually. I'll get him on Fofop. By the way, Fofop with Dave Anthony, pre-election special. So we're going to record it tomorrow morning. So it'll be Tuesday Australian time. It'll be the day before the election there. So we'll have some fun before whatever fucking happens in the election.
And you should also listen to the Fofop that's currently out with Cameron James and Alexi, how do I say his last
name? Toliopoulos.
And I say that probably with no regret, because there's a large discussion about my surname. I listened to that discussion about the origins of my surname, in which they speculated that I'm some kind of like descendant of a Nazi war criminal.
I mean, it got there pretty quickly, didn't it?
Real quick. But it's a very fun episode, and they have a great new podcast out called Finding Desperado. So if you haven't heard their original podcast, Finding Drago, I suggest you go back and listen to that and then get straight on to Finding Desperado, because very talented guys, very good podcast. But Will, the first bit of mail we have is from Daniel. He says, good day, Will and Charlie. And not g'day, but literally the full good day.
Good
I hope
day.
You're both well. And thank you right off the top for all the free content. I was wondering if you two could talk about cartoons for a bit. No, I didn't mean that. I was just joking. I prefer Warner Brothers over Disney, personally. We all watch The Simpsons. Rick and Morty are super popular, though I haven't seen it. SpongeBob is mainstream, for who knows what reason, etc. Charlie, as a new father, are there any modern cartoons that you're excited to watch with your daughter, or any old cartoons from your childhood that you're looking forward to showing her once she's old enough? I'm not really up to date with children's TV. I know everyone's raving about Bluey. I've seen a couple episodes of Bluey. It seems pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing about like TV and my daughter is I'm just not sure when the right age is to start showing her TV. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously I'm not going to show her anything that's kind of like violent or scary or anything like that. But like, what can I show her? Like, is like MasterChef like suitable for a child? If like if I've got MasterChef on and, you know, she's in the room, can
Junior
she watch that?
Junior MasterChef. Yeah. It's fine.
But what about ads? Like, can she watch ads, or is that bad? I just don't know. I've kind of kept her sheltered from TV. I have not shown her any TV. Because the other thing is, when the TV has been on, like when I'm watching the football or whatever, she's hypnotized, like 100% hypnotized. I'm like, oh. I mean, I know this is the world we live in and stuff, but should I protect her innocence just like a little bit longer? I don't know. I don't know.
Like, it's one of those things, because I've seen her with a phone. She loves a phone.
Oh, my God. She loves a phone.
She was in my phone on the weekend.
Texting Knackers back.
Yeah, she's in the video.
Yeah. Hey, Melbourne. Just want to say shout out. Love from my owner. It's been a real tough year. Probably as tough as my first year coming out of my mother's vagina to join you all. But big love. I own her out.
Her first words.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, I think that of course you'd be conflicted by that, because like there's part of you that's like, well, this is the world that she's going to be in, so maybe she just might as well get used to it and good at it as quickly as possible. Or there's the other part that's like, well, do you really want to let children be exposed to these, like, you know, messages that are put together by, you know, psychologists and, you know, influencers and manipulators, and have her brain formed at its formative years by these, like, yeah, maybe you don't.
Most of my friends who have young children, if you visit them and the kids are watching TV, there is a palpable sense of shame
or they're apologetic that you're seeing them let their kid watch TV? Because often it's a babysitter. It's like, oh, I'm just letting them watch Bluey so I can get some work done, or so I can finally, like, you know, clean up the house or whatever it is. So there is this kind of tacit belief that, well, it's kind of like giving them an ice cream just to settle them down so they can get something else done. I think everyone understands it's probably not best for their developmental health, because it's weird, man. Like, I grew up watching TV. I don't think my parents even gave a shit if we watched TV, especially me. Like, the youngest of nine, mum's like, thank God. Thank God he's leaving me alone. But I don't think it warped me in any strange sense. There's definitely rules around watching TV when I was growing up. Like, I had to go to bed by a certain time. I didn't have a TV in my room or anything like that. But I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. So to answer your question...
I mean, we both watched a lot of TV, and we both made our careers, like, working on TV. So it was fine. It worked out fine. I mean, who are we to tell people not to watch TV? We watch TV, and then we made TV that people watch. We are fucking hooked into TV. Thank God for TV.
I mean, I do like animation. I like Rick and Morty. I really love the new Harlequin series. But I couldn't say that there's anything I'm looking forward to going back and revisiting. There's films I'm looking forward to sitting down and showing Iona for the first time. But there's no cartoons immediately spring to mind. Not even like The Simpsons or anything like that. Okay, he continues. Are there any cartoon shows you like these days? I just answered that. Avatar The Last Airbender is one of my favorite shows, as well as a lot of people's, and so is Carmen Sandiego on Netflix. I'm not sure if you have it on Australian Netflix. We do here in Canada. There's a character who sounds exactly like a certain little Frenchman who guest appears on Two Guys, One Cup every once in a while. All right. Say Canadian, Daniel, and you listen to Two Guys, One Cup. I love it. He even has the tousled hair and the 5 o'clock shadow. So basically, I get to watch a show with a cartoon Charlie as a bumbling detective. I love it. And then he's given me a link to the Carmen Sandiego TV series. And I love you two, too. As human beings and as people who have taken the time and energy to give me thousands, give me and thousands of others so much laughter and joy. Stay safe, Daniel. All right, Daniel. Thanks for the email. Stay safe in Canada, especially when everyone tries to flood over the border in the next 3 days.
Yeah, by Thursday.
Yeah. This is from Courtney. XFL and Vince McMahon. Hey guys, I just watched a 30 for 30 doc on the XFL from the early 2000s. I had no idea Vince McMahon tried his hand at American Football League that incorporated elements of wrestling. It was super chaotic. Just wondering if you guys watched or knew about this, and I'm wondering if the AFL... did before they tried to make their own AFLX a thing. Thanks for the pod. Makes me happy, Courtney. I did know about the XFL, which I believe The Rock has just revived. He's just bought the rights to it.
He's bought a stake in it, a big company, right, but with The Rock as the face, I believe. But yes, so Vince McMahon had two guys at it, I believe. So they had the original XFL, and then they brought it back and they had the XFL, and now The Rock's bought it, I believe.
And I believe when Vince got involved, his idea was he just wanted to make it like all just the spectacular big hits and, you know, just like this, like combining wrestling and football. But I imagine in the era of concussion that would not be what The Rock is trying to do. I mean, there's just, that would be lawsuits waiting to happen.
You'd imagine so. Like, I'd like to make it more like the wrestling. I've always said this. I want to know what the plots and storylines are. So I would be absolutely fine if they suddenly, you know, in the back rooms, like there was enemies on the other team and there was like rivalries going on and there was like storylines.
Contract signings in the middle of the ground.
I want to see a bit of that. That would bring me to the XFL. If The Rock wants to incorporate that, I'm fine with it.
Colette writes in, to Colin Fopp, hey guys, was just recently listening to David Tennant's podcast. Mm-hmm. And in one ep, he chatted with Dame Judi Dench. She mentioned how back in the day, Billy Connolly used to throw a yearly party that would last about 3 days with the likes of Robin Williams, Steve Martin, Eric Idle, and Eddie Izzard among its guests. What would you do if you were invited to such a party? I surely hope you both wouldn't sit in the corner chatting about football. Would love to hear if Will has ever heard about these famous parties. Thanks for all the laughs, Cole.
Oh, you know what? I think that maybe I've heard it referenced, but I was not aware of the scope of it. Like a 3 day party with all those people is about as fun. And I'll tell you what I would do is I would bore everyone senseless. I would not give a shit about being invited back next year. My entire thing would be like, this is my one go. at being at this party, and I know Robin Williams doesn't want to like talk to me anymore, but this is the only time I'm going to get to talk to Robin Williams. So you know what? I'm going to fucking talk to Robin Williams.
Yeah. In the light of having watched close to a dozen Monty Python documentaries, I think I would corner Eric Idle and just tell him about everything I just saw. I mean, I would recount the history of Monty Python as if he'd never heard it before.
Which would be the first time ever anyone had done that to a member of Monty Python.
Okay, this is from Jasmine. All lady listeners. I think this is great. I think we have a fairly split demographic world. We don't appeal to just dudes. We appeal to everyone.
Well, I can't imagine we appeal to dudes. Like, dudes like, you know, Joe Rogan and, like, dude shit. Like, you know, Seven Mate commercials, blowing shit up. That's what dudes like.
You don't
like,
think there's any, like, macho dudes listen to our show? If you're dude,
yeah,
like, email in and tell us what your macho qualifications are. Do you hunt? Do you get into fights? Do you ride a motorbike? What's other macho shit? Do you know how to fix things? Are you work with your hands? Yeah. No, we've had a few tradies get in touch with this. I assume they're like macho.
Yeah. Well, you can still be a non-macho tradie. Like, I think the definition of tradies like is more broad than just macho at the moment. But so I would like to know which end of the tradie market we have. Do we have the macho end of the tradie market, or do we have the less macho end of the tradie market?
Should we run a competition that we can announce at the end of the year? Tofop's butcher's lister. Were you
men or women? Available men or women? To men or women, but we want to find our most macho. If you believe you are Tofop's most macho listener, then we want you to contact us. Go to the Tofop website, tofop.com, send us a message in the drop down and give it the headline, "I am Tofop's most macho listener." And we want some evidence of your macho-ness.
No, in the subject line, just make it shorter. It's either macho man or macho woman or macho indefined.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever you are. Macho person.
Yeah.
That can be the subject line. And then you've got to give us your qualifications. Why you think you are our most macho listener.
Is macho it because fop. You
work with your hands?
We'll call it macho fop, right?
That's it.
So macho just put fop. The headline macho fop. Do you macho believe fop. You can be crowned Tofop's first ever annual macho fop?
Okay, this is from Jasmine. Wrestling and DDP yoga. To Colin Fop, hey guys, big fan of you guys. Thanks for the continuous entertainment throughout quarantine. I wanted to message you guys about wrestling. I've been a huge fan of wrestling since I was a child. I'm 24 now. And even the little snippets where you talk sometimes about it thrill me to no end because I've always been made to feel like a weirdo for liking wrestling. And I've rarely met people who even know it exists. So thank you. I'm currently listening to episode 294. I'm a bit backlogged. So by the time you get to this email, it's probably going to be episode 394, where Will is deciding whether or not to do DDP yoga. So for those who didn't hear the episode, Diamond Dallas Page is a former WCW and WWF wrestler, now turned yoga guru, who has a tailored yoga program that is, I think, targeted towards macho dudes like our listeners, like some of our listeners will find out over the next few weeks, I imagine. And Will was saying like it had been recommended to him, but he looked at the app and I have also downloaded the app and you look at it and you're like, ah, oh, this feels a bit too wrestling to be any good.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah, no, that's I have the app. I am keen to at some stage give it a go, but I can't do it while I'm doing other things. I feel like it's one of those things where I can't let it affect my day-to-day life. And I feel like it's like doing ayahuasca or something. I feel like going into the world of Diamond Dallas Page in his yoga is going to be...
Yeah.
Because...
It's a bit... Just from the design of the app, it's a bit Ed Hardy. The app is a bit Ed Hardy.
My ultimate fear is that it works really well. And I become like one of those... like F45 disciples. Like I just can't shut up about Diamond Dallas Page and his fucking yoga program. Because what if I can see that. It feels a little cult-like. There's just something about it that's like I'm entering into a world that at the moment is not part of my world and I'm not sure if I'm ready for it.
Well, Jasmine continues. Now, I probably don't have the same reaction to Diamond Dallas Page, not really growing up watching him or anything, but I have bought his yoga
and it definitely works. I don't have osteoarthritis, but I do have fibromyalgia. I know, sorry, that's, I'm doing my best.
Fibromyalgia.
Is that right? To save you the Wikipedia search, even though you'd probably love it, it's essentially an extreme sensitivity to pain. And I have to use a walking. I had to use a walking stick for a while just to walk around the house because my knees, my hips were fucked. Anyway, I bought it thinking, if nothing else, at least I've supported someone in their career after wrestling. And I saw a massive improvement, particularly with my mobility. I've been able to walk completely fine for the past 4 years, and occasionally I dive back into it. But for me, it wasn't something that I had to keep doing every day. Just thought maybe you'd like a second opinion on it. Will, your worst nightmare has come true. It works.
Well, that's the sort of disciple that I imagine I would become. Somebody who couldn't shut up about how it... And you know what? There is one part of that that actually makes me think the capacity that you can walk away from it.
Yes.
So you don't need to keep doing it. That does reassure me a bit. Maybe it's something I could just do in secret. Like, I don't think I could tell Amy. I think I could tell her that I was doing yoga. Like, I'm going down to my office or whatever to do yoga. But I don't think that I could tell her that the yoga program I was doing was designed by ex-professional wrestler Diamond Dallas Page.
Well, here's the thing. This is not... I don't do Diamond Dallas Page yoga, Diamond Yoga, whatever it's called. But I, since COVID, I've stopped going to the gym. And so I've been downloading apps. And there is a guy who does like this calisthenics program. And that's just all body weight stuff. So it means you can go to any park and you just do your workout there. So that's what I've been doing. This dude, I follow him on Instagram and I cannot stand him. Like, I hate him. Like, I hate him. I hate his whole marketing angle. I hate his false modesty. I hate the fact that he never wears a shirt. I hate everything about him. But the program's really good. Like, it's been really good for me. Like, I'm so much more flexible and mobile. I've been managed to keep the weight off and everything like that. But I'm so embarrassed to tell people about it because I just don't want them Googling or going on Instagram and seeing this dude because he's such a douchebag. And I won't even mention his name because I don't want to give him any more business. He's got my money. In fact, I've bought two of his programs because they're that good.
I love that.
But he's a total douchebag.
Because I think there are many things that would be beneficial to me that I've gone arse end the wrong way around. Like, I've looked at the Instagram first and I'm like, you cannot sell me anything, mate. I have no trust in what you're flogging because you seem like a fucking dickhead.
Anyway, thanks again for everything. A few years ago at one of the live shows, I was the one who got the photo of Deeksie in the envelope when Charlie fucked up the badges, I think. And it was a few days after my 21st birthday, which made it probably the best birthday I've ever had. You guys have got me through so much of my life, and I sincerely appreciate you both. I hope both of you and your family stay safe. Love, Jasmine. Oh, we love you, Jasmine.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you. That's a very nice email. We got time for one more, Will?
Yeah, one more.
All right, let's do it. This is from Brooke with a question. G'day, Will and Charlie. I have a question relating to a recent discussion you had on episode 314, ranking the cast of Friends and other sitcoms. It made me wonder if either of you had any celebrity hall passes, because I know my partner knows who my top five are, and I wondered if you guys had some as well. For your information, Will, you are in my top five, and you have been since you're on The Glass House, alongside Samuel Johnson and Pete Davidson. So she likes funny, goofy guys.
I'm okay with that. Train wrecks.
You're a funny, goofy guy. Sorry, Charlie, you didn't make the cut. Love you guys. I hope to see you both alive again soon. Not alive, both live again soon.
Well, hopefully both.
Yeah, both. Hopefully both.
Okay.
Love, Brooke.
I don't know if I've updated my, like, the idea of a celebrity hall pass. Who would it? I don't know. I don't. There's no one who immediately comes to mind where I just think, oh yeah, that would be the person.
I don't. I think once upon a time, Jeremy and I had the hall pass discussion, but we've been together so long now. Like, I think when you're in your 20s, it's a fun discussion to have because maybe, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, if you ran into blah blah blah. No one's having sex with me now. Like, it's not happening. Like, it's not. It would be more of a horrible, depressing, like, conversation, like a midlife crisis conversation of, oh, this is who I have sex with if I could have the opportunity.
Like, yeah, if Angelina Jolie or whatever had to go back to a relationship and they were just like, this guy?
Yeah.
The pictogram guy.
Yeah. So no, like I don't think I could even pick a top five. Like, you know what happens is I'll see a photo of someone and be like, oh my God, like she's hot or she's still beautiful. But then I'll forget about it. I don't lock them away in some imaginary, you know, hall pass scenario.
Did you look over your shoulder as you were?
Yeah, I looked over my shoulder not to see if Jem was behind me because I thought I'm staying at a friend's place. I thought I heard him pulling up in his driveway, but he's not. He's not there.
Anyway, we should wrap this up.
If you want to support the show, please go to patreon.com/tofop. And you're not only supporting the show, but you're getting access to a heap of bonus content. We've got podcasts up there. We need to do another bonus Q&A podcast. We'll next time we get together. But there's 10 bonus episodes up there already. There's also a whole bunch of behind the scenes videos. There's full episodes of shows that we've done. There's comic strips. In fact, James Fosdyke and I have finally settled on the script for Quantum Cop episode 5. It's been a 6-month process. I mean, it better be worth it. Like, we've gone back and forth, but he finally sent me his notes on my draft on Sunday. And because I checked it on my phone, so I couldn't see who'd written what bit. And it had been so long I'd forgotten, and I thought it was good, and there was no ego involved because I couldn't remember what I'd written and what he'd written, but it made me laugh. And so he sent me the first frame of it today that he'd drawn, and it looks pretty damn funny. So Quantum Cop, if you want to get access to every back issue of that, that's at Patreon. So you can sign up for any amount, and that really that's how we keep the show on at the moment. We have some sponsors, but mainly Patreon is how we pay for all this jazz.
All right. Nice to see you.
Nothing else to plug? We've done all the shows. That's it. Okay.
No, I think that's it.
I'm the guy with the worst haircut in the world.
I'm Will Anderson.
How long? Not long. Everyone relax.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.